The preschool that two of my daughters attended had a very large play structure and sandbox outside, and the kids swarmed it several times a day, as you might well imagine, doing all of the things that you would expect kids to do, behaving like monkeys in general, but having a great time out there playing around. But there was something creative that the teachers did there that I didn't see at my older daughter's preschool. She had gone to preschool in another city. I don't remember seeing it anywhere else, and maybe it's become a common thing, but I saw it at this preschool, and I thought it was just so cool. Something that the teachers did really kind of amused me. About every couple of weeks before school started, the teachers would go out into the sandbox and scatter into the sand and mix up bits of glitter and beads and just little shiny things. I mean, you know, the kind of glitter that, oh, this one's cut out to look like a unicorn, or that one has a heart or whatever. And they would just scatter the stuff into the sand and turn the sand over. And the kids thought it was great, because when they would go outside to play on the climbing structure, they could go up to one of the teachers and ask for one of those little paper cups, and then they could go treasure hunting, right? And they could dig through the sand and collect all of these shiny little bits of glitter and things and these treasures. I can't tell you how much of that stuff came home every single week to our house and was, you know, stored in some precious box in my kids' rooms, because, these shiny bits were highly regarded treasures. Matter of fact, that's what they were called. You know, these are the treasures that I found today. They don't feel quite that same way anymore. I haven't seen them lately going out to the park to comb through the sand and look for bits of glitter. You know, it's kind of interesting how our values in that regard change over time, right? What seemed so precious and important and valuable when we were children, it changes when you become an adult. Matter of fact, even value of things in general is constantly in a state of flux. Even precious metals, gold and silver and those sorts of things that tend to retain more of their value, they still fluctuate over time. They go up and down. But there is something that has always held its value. I mean, always, has never gone down, never decreased in value throughout the entire history of the world. You. Humanity. And now, it may be hard for us to hear on a personal level that, hey, you, individually, right where you're sitting, wherever you're watching from, you are valuable. Sometimes we have a hard time with that, because there are times, there are days, sometimes there are days in sequence where we don't feel all that valuable, right? Times when we don't feel like we are worth very much. And sad to say, throughout human history, humanity has showed that we can do the disservice of valuing some people more than some other people. And that kind of discrimination shows up in any number of ways, whether it's ethnicity or gender or age or wealth or education, whatever it is, it seems like we have this built-in desire to place everything on some type of a hierarchical scale. And that means some are above and some are below. See, but here's the truth. You and every other person on this planet are valuable. God loves you. He doesn't love us because we are valuable. We're valuable because God loves us. God values us based on His own character, not ours, not what worth we can contribute to Him. We can't really contribute anything to Him. God is and has all that He will ever need. And yet He loves us, and that makes us valuable. That means that God's character and His love, that means that His love for us has nothing to do with those false reasons that people use to assign value to others. Doesn't matter whether we're big or small, young or old. Doesn't matter where we are. Doesn't even matter how dependent we are on others for our own life and well-being. God values us. And we should value others in the same way. As I mentioned, this is Sanctity of Life Month. This is Sanctity of Life Sunday. This is a time frequently when abortion finds its way into our conversations. To be sure, the life in a mother's womb is valuable. But so is the life of the mother. So is the life of the father. So is every life on earth. To me, that's what pro-life should be about, is every life, not just seeking to prevent abortion, though that is good and appropriate, but to seek to care for that mother with the unplanned pregnancy, both before and after that child is born, seeking to care for those families, seeking to care for everyone. All life is valuable and is precious to God. That's from life in the womb to life in the world to life everlasting. Life is valuable and precious to God. This morning, what I want us to do is talk about the value of a life. And not just the life of the unborn, though they are certainly in view. What I want us to see again is that all life is valuable and precious to God. We're going to be in Psalm 139 this morning. So if you would, go ahead and take a Bible and turn there with me, roughly the middle of your Bibles, kind of late in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. And in this psalm, in Psalm 139, our author, King David tells us three things. He describes three things about God which point to the fact that God values us. And the order we'll see him in is that God knows all about us, that God is always with us, and that God created us. Those three things all point to the truth that God values us and that we are precious in his sight. So Psalm 139, let's start with the fact that God knows all about us. The opening six verses of this chapter, what David does is he tells us that God knows us perfectly. That is, he knows all of our actions. He knows our comings and our goings. He knows all of our words. He even knows those thoughts that we haven't spoken out loud yet. God knows. He knows it all. Now, we can make the same claim that David does here. He claims that God knows him. Well, God knows you too. God knows us. God knows each one of you personally. So take a look at what he says here and recognize this could be your claim as much as it is David's. Psalm 139, verse 1, he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. David uses these opening verses of the psalm to cover quite a few particulars of God's knowledge of us. First, he says that God knows our motions, our movements. He knows when we leave, when we come back, our comings and goings. He knows where I'm going. He knows where I've been. God knows when I decide to plop myself down on the couch in front of the TV and just veg out for an hour or two. God knows when I decide to finally shake the covers off in the morning and get ready for work or school or whatever it is. God knows. God also knows what I'm thinking. He knows everything that's going on in my head. I would suppose that really for us, there is nothing more personal than a thought, right? Because unless we express it, nobody else around us would know about that thought. And yet God knows every thought we have. Everything that is hidden from everybody else around us that only happens in our head is not hidden from God. God hears it. He knows it. Whether it's good or bad, He knows the thoughts, even the intentions that we have. He knows. God also takes notice of every step I take. He scrutinizes our path, David says. He knows what's going on with me. When I sit down at the end of a day just to kind of think back and reflect on my day, David says that he is intimately acquainted with all our ways. He knows where I walk. He knows what I'm walking towards. He knows who I'm walking with. He knows. God knows what I'm going to say. Before I even say it, before it even hits the tip of my tongue, God already knows. He knows behind me. He knows in front of me. There is nothing that is hidden from Him. There is nothing that is out of reach for Him in terms of His knowledge of me, of all of us. God knows us completely. Like David, I think we can find ourselves a little overwhelmed by the thought of that. It's too wonderful. It's too high for us, David says. Because what it seems to convey here is that God knows us probably more completely than we even know ourselves. God knows us better than we know our own selves. And that kind of knowledge, that's difficult to comprehend. It's difficult to describe. God's perfect knowledge of us in that way, honestly, would almost be a cause for fear. Wow, He knows me that well. He even knows those awful things that I think. That would be almost a reason for fear if we didn't know how very much God loves us. Still, even though He knows every thought, even though He knows every word, even though He knows everything we've ever thought, said, or done in life, He loves us so very much. Of course, John 3:16 tells us that God loved the world so much that He sent His Son to save us from the consequences of our sinful choices. God freely offers forgiveness to us for anything and everything that we could have possibly ever done to violate His word, His will, His standards. God invites us to come to Him by faith, to come to Him believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, as the one who died in our place and took our punishment on Himself, inviting us to confess our sin, acknowledge it before Him, and to repent of it, to turn away from it and do things His way. God invites us to do that, and He says, if you will believe in My Son, having acknowledged your sin to Me, I will forgive you. But we're also invited to even give God our anxiety. There's no shortage of that going around right now. The Apostle Peter, in his letter in the New Testament, says that we can cast our anxiety on Him. We can lay our anxieties on God because He cares for us. God knows all about every one of us, and yet still He cares about us, and He loves us. He cares about you. He cares about your spouse, your kids, or your grandkids. God cares about you in your job, wherever you work, whatever you're doing. He cares about how you're doing there. He cares about you at school. He cares about your health. God cares. He loves you. And the fact is, you are valuable to God. He knows all about you. He knows you completely, and He values us. The next thing that shows us how much God values us is that God is always with us. Every part of creation, everything that exists under the sun here is also under God's watchful eye, has His attention, because God is present everywhere. David's argument as he moves on here has two parts. First, he acknowledges that, look, you can't go anywhere that God's not already there. There is nowhere that you can go that God is not there. And second, he agrees that there's nothing that can hide us from God. Whether it's of our own intention, I just want to hide myself from God, or whether we think, oh my gosh, something awful has happened to me and God can't see me, it doesn't happen. Nothing can conceal us from God. So first, we can't run from God. There's a very famous guy in the Bible who tried. His name was Jonah. That earned him the right to play fish bait. So didn't work out so well for him. He tried. Didn't happen. We can't hide from God. We can't run from Him either. Psalm 139, verse 7, David says, "Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Your hand will lead me, and Your right hand will lay hold of me." God is certainly in heaven, no doubt about that. God's wrath is absolutely felt in hell. No matter where we find ourselves going, whether it's somewhere we're trying to run to or somewhere we're dragged off to, no matter where we go, God is there. And His hand will lead us as far as we can go. His hand will keep us from getting out of His reach, if that were even possible. God is always with us. The other thing David acknowledges here again is that we cannot hide from God. Pick up in verse 11, he says, "If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to You, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to You." God was, I guess you could say here, the originator of night vision goggles, I guess, right? He can see no matter what. There is no darkness that is so dark that God can't see it like it's bright daylight. There is nothing that can hide us so well that suddenly God can't see us. There's no way of disguising ourselves from God. He knows us too well for us to somehow hide anything about ourselves. We can't hide from Him in any location, not even under the cover of darkness. God sees everything. He sees the unborn in the womb, as we'll see in the next set of verses. And again, I think this is another part of this psalm that could make us just feel a little bit uncomfortable. I mean, we just came out of Christmas and the whole Santa sees you when you're sleeping, He sees you when you're awake. That's a little creepy to think about. And you could kind of look at it and say, well, gosh, God sees everything. He knows the thoughts, the intentions of my heart. He knows what's going on. I can't possibly hide from Him. That could be something uncomfortable. It could make us fearful. But again, God loves us. He cares for us. He values us. And His intention is not that this would make us afraid. Instead, God wants this to reassure us. There are times in our lives that we feel unnoticed, right? Times in life where we feel like nobody knows what's going on in my life. Nobody sees me. I might as well be invisible. Times when we feel completely alone. Times when we feel hopeless, like we're looking up to see the bottom and we think nobody knows, nobody cares. There's any number of things that can push us into those kinds of emotions. Could be loss, loss of a job or our income, loss of a position at work. Could be loss of someone we care about, a friend or a family member, a loved one. It could be something unplanned that comes into our life that we don't know how we're going to get through and we can't see any way through it. An unplanned pregnancy, maybe. It could just be simple depression and anxiety, as if those things were simple. Any number of things can leave us feeling alone. David's point here is that you never escape God's notice. He's always there. No matter where you are, no matter what is going on in your life, God is always there. He is always with us. You are never truly alone, no matter where you are and no matter what you are going through. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, the author reminds us in chapter 13 and verse 5 that God will never leave us nor forsake us. So if God won't allow you to go anywhere without Him, if He won't allow you to get to any place that He's not already there and with you, don't you think that speaks just a little bit to how much He values you? He's willing to be there for you always, everywhere. Well, there's yet one more thing that speaks here to how much God values us, and that's the fact that God created us. God created you. The next set of verses in particular here confirms for us the sanctity of human life. We find here in this next set of verses that God has known us since before we were even born. Take a look at that next paragraph beginning in verse 13. David says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." This is one of many sections in Scripture that help us to understand that life begins at conception, in the womb, that God knows us from the very moment that our bodies begin to take any kind of shape. From the moment of conception, all of the genetic material is there to result in a full-grown human. All of the information is there from the moment of that first cell. And that one cell continues to divide and subdivide over and over into 30 trillion cells by the time we reach adulthood. God knows us from the moment of that single cell. See, God is your designer. God is your creator. He built you from scratch according to His own plan. I think a lot of times as we look around at stuff in our world, we marvel at things, right? Things that are man-made, things that are God-made. We marvel at science and technology and some of the things we've been able to achieve. We marvel at the splendor of God's creation, the majesty of the mountains and the oceans and all of these things. And we look at them and say, wow, isn't that marvelous? It's incredible. Yet, do we ever pause to consider just how amazing our bodies are? See, God created our bodies to be amazing. Consider just one kind of square inch of skin, all right? Just a tiny little portion of your skin, for instance. In a square inch of skin, you find about 20 blood vessels, up to 65 muscles, 78 nerves, 78 sensors for heat, 13 for cold, 160 sensors for pressure and touch, 650 sweat glands, and 1,300 nerve endings, and about 19,500,000 cells, individual cells, in a square inch of skin. That's pretty amazing. How about your brain? Brain weighs about 3 pounds. Gray matter, right? It can store about a petabyte of information over the course of your lifetime. What that means is that your brain can store as much information as 2,000 modern computers. Okay? Take your best top-of-the-line computer out there. It takes about 2,000 of those to equate to the storage the old noodle has upstairs here over the course of your lifetime. And by the way, that's all drawing about the same power as a 100-watt light bulb. Your eyes are capable of seeing a candle flame up to 30 miles away on a clear, dark night. Your eyes can distinguish among about 300,000 color variations. Your ears. A piano has 88 keys, can play 88 different individual notes. Your ears individually can distinguish about 1,500 different notes. So finely tuned that you can even hear blood running through your blood vessels if you put your head against the pillow. Your nose can smell one drop of perfume distilled through like a 3-bedroom apartment. This is the body that God created, that God designed for you. Just think of how amazing the development of a baby in the womb is. Do you know that just 5 weeks in, a lot of times before the mother even has any idea that she's pregnant, that the heart is already beginning to beat? Less than a month later, nose, mouth, ears, arms, legs have all begun to take shape or have fully formed. By week 11, the baby is almost fully formed kind of throughout. She's kicking, she's stretching, she hiccups. And the mother can't feel any of it yet at 11 weeks. By the end of just the first trimester, just those first 3 months of pregnancy, do you know that the baby's fingerprints have already formed? 3 months in, only a third of the way there. They already have individual fingerprints. David writes here in verse 14, he says, I will give thanks to you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Now, I'm sure that David didn't realize all of these facts that I just recited for you about our bodies or about the development of a baby in the womb. I have no doubt he didn't have a clue about most any of that when he wrote this psalm. Maybe he was just out tending the sheep at that point and happened to look at his hand and go, wow, that's pretty cool, you know? Look at how that thing works. I don't know. I'm not sure, but what I do know is that there was something about his own body that caused him not only to comment on how fearfully and wonderfully it was made, but to go on in verse 15 there and say, look, my frame, my internal structure was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. It's a very interesting phrase, that skillfully wrought. Literally, in the Hebrew, it means something that is like embroidered or woven. David was so impressed with the wonder of God's gift that he spoke of it as, it's like, God, you have woven me together. You have embroidered my body to be this thing that it is. Using the imagery of a craftsman who skillfully weaves like a beautiful tapestry or something. What David is basically saying is, look, I didn't just happen. I'm not an accident. I have value. I have worth because you, oh Lord, you're the one who put me together. David arrived at his conclusion that he was a valuable individual because he recognized that he was created by God. It was God that gave his life value. It was God who gave him worth. And without God, his life had no value. I have a $20 bill here. All right? So if I was to offer it to any of you in the room, would you take it? Yeah, right? Okay. Would you still take it? I tore it. Okay. Would you still take it? What if I still want it? Yeah, right? Why would anyone want this crumpled up, torn, mangled piece of paper? Because it's still valuable. Still worth $20, right? Now, what is it about this that is worth $20? Is the paper, the linen paper stuff that it's printed on, is that worth $20, that paper? No. How about the ink? Is the ink just really high quality ink? It's $20 worth of ink? No. It's worth $20 because the U.S. government that created it said it's worth $20. We have made this worth $20. Now, I suppose if I got myself a really powerful computer and maybe one of those really high-end printers, maybe somehow managed to find my way into some of that paper that they use for printing money, I might be able to print my own really good-looking $20 bills. Now, what do you suppose would happen if I took one of those into one of our local businesses here? They would arrest me. Why? Because that's not worth $20. But it looks the same. Same kind of paper, maybe. But my paper would have no value. Because the government didn't create it. See, here's my point. We have value because God created us. Doesn't really matter what we look like on the outside. Doesn't matter how big we are. Doesn't matter what our background is. Doesn't matter what we know. Doesn't matter what other people's opinions of us are. We have value. Because God created us. To God, all of humanity has value because, according to the first chapter of Genesis, God created us in His image. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says that God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God values all people. Especially those people that the world might overlook. Later in the book of Exodus, chapter 22, God makes that abundantly clear when He says, "Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry and my anger will be aroused. And I will kill you with the sword. Your wives will become widows and your children fatherless." That idea is repeated in the New Testament. James, in James chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress." You see, to God, all life has value. Every life. So how can we apply that to our world today? Well, do black lives matter? Without a doubt. Do law enforcement lives matter? Sure they do. Do the lives of women facing an unplanned pregnancy matter? Absolutely. Do the lives of the unborn matter? You bet they do. Does your life matter? Without question, yes. Our lives are a gift from God. You're the only one who has the kind of abilities and talents that you have. You are the only one who has the potential that you do because God is the one who put it there. Some people hear that and they say, okay, I get it. I understand the idea that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, like David says here, my body is a biological wonder created by God for me, okay. But you know, I don't feel so valuable. That's usually at the point where we introduce our objections for why we don't feel so valuable. Well, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too poor, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good looking enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not, you know, insert your own, whatever it is, I'm not. And I suppose some of that could be true. I mean, yeah, we get old, we can be weak, we may not be able to do certain things as well as other people can do them. But that fails to take into account that our value doesn't depend on any of that. Our value doesn't depend on our strengths or our abilities. Our value depends on our Creator. God says that when He wants something done, do you know what He says in Zechariah? He says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. God created you. That's just one more thing that helps us understand that God values you and He loves you. God knows all about you. He's always with you, and it was God who created you. All life is valuable and precious to God. Did you get that? All life is valuable and precious to God. God knows us inside and out, knows where we are, knows where we're going, He knows what we think, He knows what we say. He's always there, always with us. No place that we can go that we're somehow out of reach or escape His notice. You are never truly alone. God created you. He has known you personally from the very moment that you were conceived. You put all of that together and you discover that God values you and loves you like no one else can. All life is valuable and precious to God. And that means your life is valuable and precious to God. Let's pray. God, we do thank You for the way in which You value us. Lord, there are times we don't value ourselves very highly. Times when whatever it is that's happened in our lives makes us feel of little value. And yet, God, Your word, You make it clear that we have value because of You. You love us. You know us inside and out. You're always there. You created us. You love us. You value us. You know us individually from really before our first moments. God, thank You for loving us and valuing us the way You do. Help us to love and value others everywhere the way You do. Because, Lord, we see all life is valuable and precious in Your sight. Thank You, God. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.